You're listening to the It's Her Time podcast with Cody and Jess. Hi, welcome back to the It's Her Time podcast. My name is Cody Sanders, and I'm a holistic health practitioner and functional nutritionist. And I am a woman who is about to enter menopause. So I've been going through perimenopause for a few years now, and it's been a big learning curve for me. I've had to rethink everything when it comes to my nutrition, the way I move my body, the way that I progress my exercise, and all of that. And that's what I want to dive into today. We have a special guest named Barb Hocken, who is an expert in all of this. She's 56 years old, and she is showing us that we can look our absolute best and feel like our sexiest selves as we go into menopause and beyond. But before we go into this part of the episode, let's join Jess for a Mixers Girl Say. Today at our Mixers Girl Say, we actually get to go through our Mixers community bucket list items.
So fun.
Yes. I love reading through all of the adventurous things that women want to do by themselves, with their family, with their friends, and so on. But Cody, do you have a bucket list item?
I have a long bucket list. Probably the one that I'm hoping to like check off my list the soonest is I really want to see the Northern Lights. I want to go to Iceland or Finland or something like that, maybe next winter. And I want to lay in one of those like igloo things that have just the glass ceilings, and just watch the Aurora Borealis all night long and just be cozy in my like soft blankets and fur and all of the things.
Do you want to be in one of those like igloo
hut you know what I'm
that
saying?
Are clear?
Yeah, oh, they're just like, you're just laying in a bed and it's like, you just look up at the stars in the sky. I think it sounds absolutely magical. So hopefully that will happen.
You will check
this
off
will
your
happen.
List.
This will happen.
I'm excited because I have had a bucket list item for like 6 years with my kids, and we're actually going to go and complete this bucket list item in a couple weeks. We're going to Hawaii. I surprised my kids with a trip to Hawaii for their birthdays. And so I'm excited to finally check that off of all of our lists.
Oh my goodness.
I've been to Hawaii, but I've never been able to take my kids. So they're so excited.
Oh, how fun.
Okay. This is fun because two women wrote back to back, go to Paris. And then another woman wrote, go to the Eiffel Tower. So I feel like a lot of women want to go and do the experience the magic of Paris.
Yes. And it's so fun because I just wanted to, a couple months ago, I should say, we did like a Paris giveaway. And I'm thinking—
It's our third year in a row.
I've never actually been to Paris, but it looks also just so amazing. But she should probably be going soon. Like, is that, when's her trip? Do we know?
I don't actually know what date she ended up choosing. We'll have to find out. But yeah,
so cute.
And her husband and her baby are going to Paris.
So fun.
Yeah. And it's always funny because Cody and I always call these winners every single year. So excited to tell them that they've won a trip to Paris on Mixers and no one ever answers the first call. But makes it funny. On my bucket list right now is getting more quality time with my husband after 16 years of raising three kids. We want to start traveling a lot. Great. I love it. Sunrise or sunset on a hot air balloon ride.
Ooh, cool. Yeah, that'd be fun.
To build a wild flower garden so I can walk out weekly and fill vases in my house. Oh, I love fresh flowers.
Come on over to my backyard.
Yes, Cody is a great gardener. See the Beauty and the Beast castle in Japan. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know about
this. I'm going to look at it. Marlo, my daughter, really wants to go to Japan. So I'll add that to my list. Go on an Alaskan cruise. Tour the tulip fields in the Netherlands. To write and publish a children's book. Awesome.
Amazing.
I have a friend that's done that. If you need a contact to get you started, reach out to me. Travel the Greek islands and swim with the great white shark.
No thanks.
No thank you.
No thanks. That's like my biggest fear.
Nope. The videos you see of like shark cage gone bad, where it's like the shark's able to like get inside the cage or like chew the bars. That would happen to me. I'm willing to go and be on the boat and watch people that want to do that. But
sure. No, like a glass bottom boat?
You.
I'll check
cool.
it out.
Yeah, I would
maybe.
Do that. Raft the Grand Canyon from Powell to Meade. I just survived cancer, so a nice trip would be nice to add to my bucket list.
I love that. You deserve a good trip.
Hike Mount Kilimanjaro.
That's cool.
And then right after that, a woman wrote, an African safari is number one on my list.
Hey. Reach out to me because I'm trying to get a group of people to go to Uganda. I'm just throwing it out there. One of my, he's kind of like an adopted son. Mm-hmm. Do you not know? Yeah. Do you want to go?
Yes.
Hey, he's not really officially adopted because he was 18 when we met, but he's like a little son and he's starting a little tour company. I'll put a little I'll put a link in this episode's show notes so that you can check it out because you'd love to support him, first of all. And it's amazing. He takes people to go see all the gorillas. And I mean, there's just, it's going on safari and it's
I love it.
Incredible.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to see so many of you tackle the items on your bucket list and add adventures to your life and go out, go chase your dreams, go do the things. Life is short. Live it to the fullest. And we're excited to see you fulfill these bucket list items.
My favorite thing.
Yeah. Enjoy the episode. Mixers is a company made for women by women. Each of our products have been carefully and lovingly crafted to support you in all stages of your life, providing you with the optimal health you deserve. Each ingredient we handpick is 100% all natural, backed by science, and chosen specifically to better your life physically, mentally, and hormonally. Each product empowers your body to take charge of its monthly hormonal shift and flows, empowering you to live life to the fullest. Let Mixers take care of your needs from sunup to sundown, and you take care of the rest. Check us out at mixers.com, M-I-X-H-E-R-S.
Barb, I'm so excited for our audience to get to know you and learn a little bit more about your background and kind of what's made this part of your life like such a passion for you.
Hey, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Well, the whole fit bug kind of hit me when I was 17. I was in high school and I just started working out, teaching aerobics, and it just kind of started from there. So I've always kind of had the fit life and raised our four sons. I homeschooled them, did all that. But at 47, I thought, gosh, I don't know. I'm kind of skinny fat. Something's going to, with my body. And so I decided to kind of get back in shape because I homeschooled my kids and I really wasn't working out. And then I looked around and realized that as I got closer to menopause, there really wasn't a lot of resources. No one was talking about it at the time. This was almost 10 years ago. We just didn't talk about it. No one talked about perimenopause. I didn't even know what that was. So, I've always been into fitness and nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start my online, coaching specifically for this age group. I call it midlife now because initially it was really just menopause, but then now the perimenopause. So there's a lot of women struggling like I did at 43, 44. It's like, what's going on with this belly? I do Pilates, you just don't understand. So that's how it kind of started.
Yeah, I know. I'm so glad that you have experienced it. You're a little bit ahead of the game of where I'm at, but I am absolutely with you. I know. I feel like once I hit 40, even though I was a fitness trainer and I was, eating what I thought was the right way and doing all the things the way that we thought we were supposed to do it, all of a sudden I'm like, what is this like fluff that is happening on my middle? Like I had never had that before. And it was just, mind-boggling to me. Obviously, it's helped lead me to find the answers to all of that and the solutions as well. So that's what I'm excited to get into today because I know there's so many women that they relate and they have been frustrated and they feel like they've been doing everything they possibly can. And it just feels like they are, having such resistance when it comes to losing any fat, especially around the midsection. So let's dive in a little bit about like what's happening at this phase of life. I feel like our audience is very familiar with these different phases, like perimenopause that you described. If you're not women, this is something that women are entering into, like even the young age of 35. It's happening a lot earlier than it used to. And it's something that is the stage, it's actually a stage before we go into menopause. And I feel like perimenopause, I'll back up. I feel like menopause gets all of the bad rap, but really it's perimenopause that is sometimes the tricky, the tricky stage. And so there's so many things we can do to set ourselves up for success. So let's just talk about like what is going on during this phase of our life and why is that like midsection just growing without, our consent?
It is. So the estrogen is really changing. It depends on individual, women. But when your estrogen drops, then all your major hormones technically are not balanced. And so your body redistributes fat throughout your body, mainly putting it on your lower belly, kind of the arms, back fat. And also you lose muscle on your upper butt and legs, quicker than you ever did. It's all related to hormones. And so even though you might go on HRT, okay, hormone replacement, which is a little bit later or advanced or whatever, you still need to lift, exercise. A lot of women think, oh, I just go on hormones and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and their body still changes, not for the good. So really it's the weight training, not cardio, that's really going to be the key, especially as you get closer to menopause, like mid 40s, 50s, you know, I would really slow down on the HIIT training. It just exhausts you and doesn't really change your body for the good. And so many women are caught up in that because it's really popular. You know, mm-hmm. It has been for the last 9 years, but it's really the lifting of the heavier weight that's going to change your body.
Yes. So it's so true. And I mean, even better, you'll be even more set up for success if you start the strength training even younger. But if you haven't, and if you were like me, where I was an endurance athlete, I did triathlon and I was running and biking and swimming. And just, I had that mindset of like, go big or go home, you know, as far as like just exhausting myself when it came to exercise. And like you, that's what I started learning, was that was actually now counterproductive for what my goals were. It was kind of almost like my body was like, this is working now against us. And so I had to really make a shift in the way that I approached exercise and make it so that strength training was the primary focus. And so as well as, you know, cardio was important, but I definitely took it down a lot of notches. So I'm a walker now. I love my walks every day and all of that. But yeah, you're exactly right. It has everything to do with hormones. It's not the calorie equation anymore, like maybe we thought it was when we were younger. It's more like, how do we work with our hormones?
Yeah. Yeah. And so a lot of women, what I found as I've done this is they don't really have the support of doctors. So I'm kind of a little bit more aggressive because the doctors work for us, right? It's not the other way around. So I'm a real big advocate for my clients to go find a different doctor, you know, start with your GYN because they're going to take all the complete and blood panel and the complete hormone panel. Those are the two tests and those are the names that you need. You deserve. Mm-hmm. You know, as a baseline, kind of like they say, oh, go get a mammogram when you're 39, maybe, because then if something happens when you're 41, we know what you were before 40, because 40 is usually the age. But then I say, okay, and I learned this from my doctor. He's the one that sat me down when I went into menopause for a hormone talk, 45 minutes in his office. I thought everybody got that. And now I know that is not the case at all. And a lot of women all over the world are in the dark. They don't know what to do. They don't understand HRT. They, you know, or even what kind of foods to eat and what kind of foods to avoid and that sort of thing. So I always say, check with your doctor first. Hopefully he or she is on board. If not, find another, you know, a functional doctor, integrative. Those are all about your lifestyle. Your doctor should always sit you down and say, how is your sex life? Should be one of the first questions, because that is the first thing almost that's so important, should be, right? Especially if you're a married gal like me, that is going to go downhill. And then I would just sit there and laugh. Ha ha, that's so funny. There is no sex drive, right? And so with HRT and very individual, that can get revved up. And I know most women aren't even thinking about that because they're hot and they're sweaty at night and they're waking up and they have, you know, they're complacent. They have no motivation. I went through all of that silently. Just thought to myself, this is definitely menopause. I'm not going to say a peep. I'm not going to tell any of my kids. I'm not going to, you know, because I know I will get through it. And I did, but it's like, whew, you know, I'm kind of strong like that. But a lot of women, they're really beside themselves. So they're not thinking about being sexy at all. They just want to get through the night without, you know, being all sweaty.
Yeah. When you're uncomfortable. Yeah. When you're uncomfortable, like the last thing you want to think about is sex. Yeah. And so, but that's so key. And I love that you brought that up because these are some of the first symptoms that we start to recognize when we're starting to go into the later stages of perimenopause and into menopause. And so, yeah, estrogen starts to tank. Progesterone was our first sex hormone that starts the whole, you know, the whole process. It starts to lower first and then estrogen follows quickly after that. So I think that this is awesome. And I know our audience, we talk about all of this so much, but today I want to get into like the nitty gritty. Like, let's give them some really good takeaways of the things that they can actually put into action because it's important for us to understand our bodies. But I feel like, yeah, we can learn a lot about our bodies, but then now what? Now what do we do? So yeah, can we kind of get a little glimpse of what you recommend for a lot of your clients that you work with?
Yeah. So it really depends on their lifestyle, their goals, right? And so you take a client where they are, and maybe they're not running, you know, you have to kind of fix what they can. Just like I'm a macro coach, I'm not going to have you input all your macros into my fitness pal. It's so confusing if you don't even really understand anything about macros. So we always count protein. Protein is so important. That's our number one thing. You're going to count that within your caloric limit. If you have been eating in a calorie deficit, I need you eating a lot more because I need your metabolism revved up. Yes. Most women don't eat enough, less than 1200 calories. Like, you're starving yourself. No wonder you're skinny fat. You're lifting, you're going, you know, to the gym all the time. But I was like that, spinning my wheels round and round. I eat at least maintenance, if not a surplus, year round. And that's how I build my body. But I feel good too. I can sleep at night, right? All these are really important. But if you are good with that and it's just really hormones, then talk to your doctor and get on board, really educate yourself. Because it took me 3 years to figure out, okay, what is this? Is this scary? Am I going to get cancer? Turns out, you know, when we go into menopause, it's diabetes, osteoporosis, heart disease. Those are all raised when our estrogen is tanked. You know, dementia. I already have the Alzheimer's gene. I have one gene. So it's, you know, it's so individual. It depends on the quality of life that you want to have, because I'm really pro hormone therapy because of the quality of life. Initially, I thought, well, okay, I can handle night sweats and all that. I wasn't even thinking about sex, right? And so, but then when my hormones really got balanced and I, you know, there's testosterone creams and that sort of thing, and then it kind of revved things up. And even my GYN said, I'm glad that you're on some testosterone, Barb, because now we know you have the dementia gene, you are in menopause, mm-hmm. and this will help your brain. Testosterone is so important for the brain. And we need to get over that. Oh, I don't want to look like a man. I mean, you're taking such a small amount, and it really does. Like, the progesterone is the first thing, because that'll wipe out any dryness. And then, so piano, piano is what we say. It takes about a year, it did for me, to get everything balanced. And you're talking to your doctor about what you want. That's the whole thing. And don't be embarrassed that you want to have a sex life. A lot of women our age, we get a bad rap, especially if you're a grandma already or something. Oh, you know, I'm okay. I don't, you know, but if you're married, you know, I've been married almost 30 years. It's like, you know, we're not 12. Okay. We understand what the husband needs. It's really important for the marriage versus, well, I'm going through menopause. I'll see you, you know, when I'm 80 or something. It's just, you know, because you can be thriving. It's really exciting, especially if you're eating and getting in shape. It's just the whole body really does change. But again, that conversation with the doctor, and I cannot stress enough, if your doctor is old fuddy-duddy, I've had clients, they say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, you're fine. It's normal for mm-hmm. you to not have a sex drive. It's normal for you to gain weight. And they're like, Barb, I go, it's, you know, you don't have to gain weight if you don't want to. It, you know, it's your body. There's shifts. I've had to do it. I gained weight last summer. Of course I did. 6 pounds after my powerlifting meet. We went to Europe. I was eating and drinking. I can't say, oh, duh, why did I gain weight? I mean, I really have to be hard on myself. However, I couldn't lose it doing everything else I did before. Mm. And I was 55 and I thought, oh, is this menopause? I thought about it for a second and thought, well, of course not. I can beat anything. It's just, okay, 55 now, mid 50s, my body wants me to change something I've been doing. So I got up in the morning and I actually worked out 2 times. I have not done that. I've done it twice in my life when I was fed up and I said, I'm doing this. And I got up in the morning and my workouts are only about 35 minutes per session, not an hour and a half, because you'll tucker out. You'll never be able to go to a day. But it's that extra little bit of lifting, that extra little bit of time, and then a little bit more walking and just sticking to the diet and that. And over time, though, a lot of women quit after 10 days, 2 weeks. Oh, it doesn't work. Your body is older and it takes it a while, right? To figure out, it's like, oh, this girl is like exercising now, like more often. And then in your body, I like to say, it kind of rewards you. After a few weeks, 4, 5, 6 weeks, that's how long it takes my scale to move. And then it does start continually moving because you're disciplined every single day. Doesn't mean you're going to go out and eat quesadillas and margaritas on the weekend, because then you're going to blow everything. It's kind of a lot of work, but it's more of a discipline. It's really what you want. I mean, it comes down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's truly about consistency. And I think it's also just being really trusting of your intuition too, and listening to your body and your, and paying attention to your energy levels and all of this, because there's going to be some of you women who are just kind of, maybe you've been over-exercising and it might not be a good idea for you to do 2 days, you know, of the exercise. But as you start getting to that point where Barb's describing, where you're in a more balanced state, you've been working with your doctor, you've been using maybe hormone replacement therapy to help kind of balance some of these sex hormones and to help replenish what's been lost. Then yeah, it's good. You want to do it. But I think I love what you just said. And I just really want to emphasize this because I think I mean, maybe I'm just only speaking from my own experience, because I feel like I grew up and this, the profession of that I was in for so long, made me a little obsessive with exercise. I'll be totally honest with that. Yeah. And so it's really easy for me to hear, oh, 2 a day. Okay. I got to do 2 a day, you know, but I am loving what you're saying. You're not 2 times a day going in for 2 hours at a time and just totally wrecking yourself. You're lifting strategically. You're probably doing a form of strength training where you're progressing, you know, at a steady rate, and you are emphasizing the walking. Walking is amazing. And I feel like that's what I have learned. And I feel like all of the women that are in my life at this time who are going through the similar phase, they're finding that this is the kind of the secret sauce for helping us to stay, you know, at a good, healthy place where our body's responding, but we're not exhausted. We're not like driving ourselves into the ground. Yeah.
So I typically only work out 4 days a week, whether I'm doing 2 days, 4 days, 5 days right now, because it's my off season. But under, I never ever train more than 60 minutes. A new client will come on. Oh, I'm going to do your program. Plus, I'm going to do this. Whoa. And she's okay. She thinks that's okay. And I'm like, you have to rest. It was hard for me because I'm very hyper, as you can tell. I do everything. And it took me a couple of years to settle down and learn how to rest for 3 to 5 minutes in between my heavy sets. And also to take rest days. Like today was my rest day. I got up, dressed for the gym. I'm like, oh, it's a rest day. What am I going to do? So it's really, but you need that rest day to grow muscle, to grow the tone. And so when I did a 2 a day, I'm not kidding, 35 minutes, very specific programming. Sometimes I would just do core, which I hate doing. I never do, but I thought, okay, I needed to tell my brain, this is what we're going to do. Because if I don't go in the morning, I'm not going to go. Right. Mm-hmm. And then in the afternoon, I would go and maybe do arms or chest or, you know, whatever with one of my sons. Again, 35 minutes. So each day, only 60 minutes, never, ever more than 60 minutes. Then I would walk, not a ton, you know, 8,000 steps because I have dogs. Again, but I got over that whole adrenal fatigue, which I did when I was younger, about, you know, died, right? It sounds like you did the same thing. After 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, terrible, and eating 1,200 calories. I've been through that. Your body won't change. It will really be bad for you if you do that. I consume a lot of food, obviously, and a lot of protein now because I've been on carnivore since August. But, and that really has the biggest shreds. If you look at my Instagram now, it really is. You don't have to do carnivore. I don't recommend it yet because I think it's very advanced, difficult, because you have to consume so much fat, you know, but really getting your macros, still a lot of protein and only certain carbs, certain timing of the day, really important at our age. You don't need a lot of carbs except around your lifting, not your walking time, but your lifting. So lift heavier, progressively heavier for you. Like those last 2 reps, like, oh man, this is really hard, right? Perfect. Boom. Then you go home and you eat some complex carbs, rice, sweet potato, oats, pretty much it. You can eat some veggies with a protein always. How much protein? 1 gram per pound of what you weigh right now. Because if you're lifting, if you're a couch potato, you don't lift, you don't really exercise. The only thing that you do is walk. It's cool. You don't need as much protein. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the protein is building block. That is what's going to build you tone, but you have to lift, is what we say, not exercise. You have to lift, train. So if you have 10 pound weights, I'm going to tell you, it's not enough. You need 15s, you need 20s. You need to push your body to the limit is really what it is. You're not going to die. You're not going to pass out, right? You're going to do maybe 8 reps, 10. You do what you can. We really say to failure, which means muscle failure or form failure. You can look at yourself in the mirror, follow along with a program. Program is really important. Where I see women, they'll go to the gym, they don't know. I see it all the time. There was a lady trying to squat. She was squatting next to me at the gym this week. And then in between, she's doing kettlebell swings. She was older than me. I said, hey, how are you? I said, you know, you're doing a major compound movement with the squat, which I was doing the same thing. I said, you know, you really shouldn't be doing the kettlebell because you're not going to be able to add weight. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, and for women our age, I said, you need to rest in between. I don't know who programmed you is what I said, but it's not good. It's because she's spinning her wheel. She's going to be so tired. She's only going to be able to squat 65 pounds, but she could definitely squat heavier than that. That's where women get, you know, because they look at other women. This woman was in shape. She was probably almost 70 in shape though. So if I didn't know what I was doing, oh, wow, she's doing some squats. She's doing those kettlebell swings. Brilliant. I'm going to do that too. And then you have this whole charade of nonsense happening in the gym and women copy other women, very bad technique, very bad programming, and their bodies don't change. They have flat butts because they're not consuming enough and they're not, she's not squatting enough to do any kind of muscle damage. You have to tear your muscles to change them. And then you go home and eat a ton of food and then you rest, sleep, take a rest day. Then your body will grow muscle. That's how it works.
That's exactly how it works. And that's so good. I know. I love that. I mean, it's so true. It's a different approach, you know, like as I feel like doing the kettlebells in between the squats and trying to just keep yourself moving all the time. That was kind of what everybody was being encouraged to do about 20 years ago, right? And so, yeah, you know, yeah. It was like, yeah, just have an active rest in between. But it's so important for us now, especially as we're going through this phase of life, to make it more about we're supporting muscle gain. Okay, that's the focus here. We're not going to become Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything because we just don't have enough testosterone, even if we're doing hormone replacement therapy. But what we're trying to do, like you're saying, Barb, is to lift heavy enough that not with 15 to 20 reps, but maybe more around that 8 to 10 rep range, that's when we're feeling that exhaustion and we're feeling a breakdown happening. And so I think that's, I'm loving that you're sharing kind of the details because that's what I was meaning when I was like, I want to get into the nitty gritty here because I know it's not going to be the same for every single person that's listening today, but this is really good guidance. And it might be a mindset shift for some of you as well. Maybe you're going to look at the things that have been your routine and recognize that, okay, I get it. I'm hearing what Barb's saying and I am relating because I am just spinning my wheels. I'm showing up, but I'm also not seeing any progress happening. Yeah. And you kind of chalk it up to like, well, I'm in my 50s. And so maybe I just won't ever see progress happening. So I'm just going to keep going or whatever. But no, you actually can. And if you go look at Barb's Instagram, it's very inspiring. And Barb, you're 56. Is that what you said? How old are you?
Yeah, 56.
And you started lifting really heavy around the age of 47, right? Is that?
So I've lifted since I was 17. Okay. I started when I was 17, have always lifted. I started powerlifting when I was 51, but changed my skinny fat body. I've always weighed the same my whole life, except for when I was 20. And then I vowed I would never let myself be undisciplined with food again. Because for about 8 months, I was kind of hefty for me. And that just shook me to the core. And so I've remained the same. That's why I tell people, you don't hate when I say this, but you don't have to technically work out to stay the same weight. Mm-hmm. That is all diet. Now, if you want to have a hot rocking body, then you need to lift. Okay. So when I changed my body at 47, I only had maybe 5 pounds to lose because I was really disciplined. I did not eat correct food. I was a homeschool mom. I lived off muffins, you know, it's like muffins and salad with chicken, terrible diet. And then after about a year, I realized, man, I'm really working my butt off here at the gym. I thought it would be, I was in shape, but not where I thought. Then I came up with my 15 foods, changed that. And that's all I consume until I started carnivore was these 15 foods, which most people do, but very disciplined. No BHT, no preservatives, seed oils, food dyes, all of that. No parabens, really clean food. My body changed exponentially in about 12 weeks. When I started really increasing the protein and, you know, got rid of the simple carbs, you know, and put in, you know, sweet potato and, you know, complex carbs, then again, I needed to do the shift. And that's how I found carnivore, really heavier meat to get the shreds, the belly shreds. You don't have to go on it. it's easier, you know, to do that. But I started powerlifting when I was 51 just because I didn't want to work out every day. And so I thought, oh, I can work out 4 days a week, 45 minutes each time. That's it. That sounds perfect for me because I, you know, I think I'm lazy. You know? So I did that and amazing at the results that I can get, you know, and state record holder and just kind of keep, it's really the booty. I mean, I'm not a big booty. I talk about it a lot. It's just because I'm a little gal and I can lose it quickly. I'm an ectomorph, but at my age, I never thought, wow, you know, I always kind of had a pancake butt when I was younger. But at this age, it's just amazing to me. Amazes my husband how I can change my body so quickly. At our, it's just really awesome. And really, it is from the heavier lifting. I don't do any kind of circuits. You know, it's just I used to. I was kind of addicted to it because it's fun. But my coach would yell at me, "You gotta not do that, Barb. You're not gonna be able to lift." And he was right. I would try to lift. It's like, oh, I'm really tired, you know. So it kind of, but us women, we're used to that. We're used to being tired, exhausted. I have four kids. Who sleeps? Right? I thought, I don't need to sleep. So now I prioritize sleep. Have to sleep, have to, you know, drink a lot of water, have to rest. Rest is different than sleep. You have to actually just chill out and rest, which is very difficult for all of us, you know, really busy mamas. We're not used to that. So again, like you say, it's a mindset shift. But as you get into shape too, then your mind changes. Then you might feel, oh, I feel kind of good. And maybe I do feel a little sexy. And I think that's okay. Because a lot of women our age don't feel that it's okay. Society is kind of, you know, I'm not sure, you know, because especially if you're a grandma like my sister, you know, I'm a grandma, you know, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends.
Yeah, but why not? You know, I do agree. It's the norm. It's kind of just the normal mindset that like, as we start going into menopause and beyond, we become the grandmas that, you know, we get a little fluffy, a little chunky. We got those nice little love handles and, you know, the squishy bellies and all of that. But why? We don't need to. We can seriously be entering into a phase of life where we are at our sexiest, you know, stage. And it's, I feel like maybe some people that are listening could be listening to you and maybe feeling, and I'm not meaning this as a diss, I'm just saying, they may think this sounds like it's harder, but what I'm listening to and hearing is that you are actually simplifying this. And that's truly the key here, is that it's more discipline maybe, but it's actually, the discipline is helping you to be able to get a lot more bang for your buck. Do a lot less to receive more. And so I love that. So I feel like, yes, you're right. At this stage of life, it's like one of the busiest times I've ever had in my life. And I don't know that it will ever change. I think that's just always going to be the key. So making sure that we're focusing on these key principles, like you're talking about the protein intake. That's what I do too. I always focus on the protein grams. I also try to make sure I'm getting in enough fiber. And so I'm sure that's a part of things with you, but I mostly get a lot of my fiber comes from a lot of vegetables and a lot of, not a lot of fruit, but mostly vegetables and some fruit. And that sounds like kind of what you're on too. And I have been finding that that's how I have been feeling best. I am curious about your, when you're talking about the 15 foods, you're mostly meaning that like there are, most of us have like this, we eat the same foods kind of daily, right? But you got specific that there's 15 that you rotate in your diet. Do you mind sharing just a little bit more about that?
I don't eat those anymore because I'm on carnivore, but I did for years, for seven years. So it was meats, right? So, and I just started eating red meat maybe 4 or 5 years ago. My younger son forced me to eat red meat, which is weird because I'm on carnivore and that's all I eat now. But so it was your meats, chicken, fish, okay, and your meats. And then certain veggies, you know, I have hypothyroidism. So the cruciferous veggies, I stay away from if you're hypothyroid. So, you know, green beans, salad, I love salad, but never salad dressing ever. So it's really, if you think about, really, it's what I don't eat. No, I don't eat any kind of sauce. So it's every food that you would eat, veggies, fruit, for sure. Three complex carbohydrates, which are sweet potato, white rice, and rolled oats. Those are the only three carbs that I would ever consume. And I always consume those with protein. I used to eat every 3 hours, since I was 17, I would have to graze. I don't really eat snacks. I would just have another small meal. And I would eat dairy products, eggs, whole milk, always, always whole fat food. Never, ever non-fat food. Longtime trainer told me this about 10 years ago. He said, if you want to avoid having saggy skin, Barb, you need to eat whole fat food. Okay, no, he's Italian, no problem. So butter, olive oil, and it, because it fills you in. Mm-hmm. Because as you start losing weight, you don't want to lose too fast, only 1 pound a week, and you know, max, because or you'll get saggy skin. And then that's terrible. And so, and to avoid that also is you lift, right? So the 15 foods, so kind of like we eat out all the time. We travel, just got back from Europe. We were there 2 weeks, exponentially, always traveling. So how do I do that when I'm out? I kind of just eat meat. It's easy. Meat and salad is that, but never salad dressing. The salad dressing and sauces, I don't eat any sauce, really trips a lot of my clients up. Mm. Can I have the sauce? What do you think? You know, because it's those hidden calories, and also salad dressing will spike your triglycerides. So again, diabetes, it's, you know, it's on the rise for us just because menopause. So we want to avoid those things. You need to eat like bodybuilders, kind of like a bodybuilding diet, but I just don't eat broccoli or chicken. I eat red meat instead. And actually I don't eat any vegetables now because I'm a carnivore, but I will add in some fruit and honey. I'm very really kind of hardcore carnivore, Sean Baker type. So, mm-hmm. or carnivore MD. But anyway, but before that, it was the 15 foods. And a lot of my clients stick with that. They like it because there's a little variety. You know, you can eat it over the holidays, no problem. You can cook your turkey, have a little sweet potato, you know, things like that, or mashed potatoes, because regular potatoes, it's really, think about what you eat, a hamburger, okay? I would eat a hamburger, especially like Five Guys, because they cook it in butter, not seed oil. And I would get literally a triple patty, no bun. Perfect, because I'm all about protein. So you're eating like with the family, no problem. It's not a big deal. And you're just eating your little lettuce wrapped burgers. Hmm. So you can actually dine out and travel for the most part.
Yeah, I think it's so fascinating. I mean, we're all bio individuals. And so it sounds like you have found what has absolutely worked for you. And you've worked with so many women too. And this is something that you encourage women to kind of follow and figure out. I know that there's going to be a lot of women listening today that are like, no sauces? What kind of life would that be? But I think there's some little tricks that you can do to kind of help be addressing. So like a little lemon juice, do you ever do that? Or like a little olive oil, do you ever use olive oil? Or is that like a no, that's not on your list?
I used to on carnivore, no, because it's, you know, it's plant-based. But you know, the thing of it is I go out, we're going out to a French restaurant tonight, I will eat everything. Mm-hmm. I'll have escargot because I can, right? Once you get to a point, once you get in shape, only takes one time. Once you are in shape, you kind of know what to do. So even though I'm on carnivore, I have a carb refeed once a day. And then when I was in Europe, I ate carbs the entire time because I knew I needed to fill in because I get too shredded, right? I'm kind of really lean for my weight class for powerlifting anyway. And so you just kind of know your body. A woman our age knows her body. But again, I don't recommend carnivore because it's difficult. You have to eat like 70% fats. Most women our age, they're like, wow, I just can't even fit. You know, initially I can't eat more fat. I can't, you know, we're just not used to that. That is the key because you have to get your energy. Energy comes from either carbs or fats. A carnivore, you're not consuming any carbs at all. So it means no sugar. That's why the waist goes down so much. There's no inflammation, which is, I was only 112 pounds before as a power lifter, but the difference in when I started carnivore, I gained a few pounds and I was 116, but my waist was a lot smaller because I was like, how could I be inflamed at 112? I don't eat anything that's really inflammatory except for my oats, which kind of are. And so it was just, carnivore is very, very interesting because you can definitely, after a while, you got to be on it about 3-4 months, definitely start getting shreds. I went on it for health reasons because of one of my sons, we thought it would help him, not because shreds. I had no idea. And I was like, wow, my body's kind of changing. I was really amazed. I'm still amazed. And that's why I've stayed on it because it's kind of easy and then easy to go off it and like tonight eat whatever I want. And then tomorrow I'll go back on and, you know, it's very interesting.
It is. It's so interesting. And we're kind of always a little science experiment, you know, trying to figure out what works.
For sure.
And sometimes you get unexpected, you know, results. And then you learn so much about how your individual body responds. And so, as the listeners are listening in, I just think this is fascinating for them to hear kind of what this looks like for you. But I do want to iterate that it's not something that we're recommending for everybody to do. And even what you're saying with the 15 foods, this is something if you have the goal to really get yourself into that shape and have that, like those abs maybe showing, really shred down that belly fat that maybe has been just kind of in the way a little too long. This is what you're advocating. This is what you're saying is to get, you know, maybe really disciplined with your diet, really pay attention to not exactly what you're eating, but what you're not eating. And then once you get to that point, then you will become so in tune with what actually works with your body. And you will know what works, you know, for you and what your goals are. Because obviously, the goal here is not to feel like you're going to have to live a life that is just super, I don't know, so structured that you're thinking about every bite that goes into your mouth. Like I would never recommend that for people anymore. I've been there. That has been, you know, part of my world, but I get it. But I get like, yes, let's be realistic. If we have goals that we want to start seeing the 8-pack, yeah, you know, we got to really pay attention to what's going on with the diet and our approach to exercise as well.
Yeah. Now I rarely have a 6-pack. It's never my goal as a power lifter. I always have a little bit of fat. But the 15 foods are low FODMAP because I have a son with Crohn's disease. So we learn for our family what we should, you know, and those are all anti-inflammatory. I do recommend an anti-inflammatory diet for most women because that's the bloat, right? Yeah. So that's why broccoli is a big no-go. And certain food, you know, you'll know if you can tolerate milk or if you can't, that sort of thing. And so it's so, like you were saying, individual for everyone, but I definitely don't recommend a 6-pack. I mean, I would, even now I only weigh 108 and I don't have, I would really have to get so lean. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're so skinny, you know, cause it's genetics. It's just not worth it. It's like, I hate doing core, direct core. I'm not gonna do it. You know, it's just, but I get it. When we have that belly, it's so annoying. You just feel like, oh, you just squeeze at that lower belly, right? It's so annoying. It's like, man, I'm just doing so much. But that's just a calorie deficit. I mean, either through your food or, you know, through exercise, really a combination calorie deficit. But if you've been in a calorie deficit for a long time, then you can't continue going down even lower. You actually need to add more, like a reverse diet, and get up to maintenance because you need to have a healthy metabolism. If you've been in a calorie deficit for a long time, I guarantee your metabolism is probably not very healthy. It's crying out. So that's why I literally eat in a surplus year round. And so as you can tell, my metabolism is quite high. And, you know, it's easy to change your body. Very difficult, though, to impart that on women our age. Because I was there. I mean, I didn't want to eat. I was scared, right? We're scared to eat. I did a post about that today. It's like,
yeah,
you really have to eat. Not just 2 days. You have to kind of continually eat and lift heavier. You're not going to get fat because you don't get fat overnight, right? Especially if you're, you know, you might get a little all over thin layer. But if you're eating, you're also meaning you're gaining some muscle. And you're healthy. And once you go to lose the fat, so easy. Mm-hmm. Within like 6-7 That's how it works. That's the body composition.
Yes, I will absolutely, you know, agree with you right there. I feel like if most women that I've worked with, they are under eating and they are very scared to start, you know, to add more, you know, calories. That's what they seem to be focused on. But if you can do it like what Barb just mentioned in a reverse dieting kind of format where we're just adding a little more a little at a time, your body, and especially if you're lifting, your body will adapt and you will start feeling so much better, girls. I'm telling you, you have been functioning on too little energy and not enough nutrients. And remember, the number one root cause of hormone imbalance is nutrient deficiency. So I like to make it so the focus is I'm going to be adding more nourishment. Everything that's going into my body is actually nourishing me and giving me what it needs, the building blocks in order to support my body naturally to function optimally. And that's exactly what Barb is explaining too. She's getting really into the nitty gritty. This is what I've asked her to do. And I love that because I know a lot of you guys are going to be sending in some questions about, well, like what does this look like? How do I do this? I would highly recommend if you are that girl that's really wanting to get into the nitty gritty even more, I would seek out a qualified coach who knows exactly how to guide you along, because that's what's wonderful now is that we can access these amazing coaches online and get the programming done for us and the guidance when it comes to our nutrition from somebody who's been trained and they know what they're doing. They've done this, you know, on their own, or they've helped hundreds of clients. You know, I just think it's well worth it. And so, yeah, so I know Barb, you are doing coaching for women, right?
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. For midlife menopause women, that's my specialty. High-end one-on-one. I love working one-on-one. Sometimes I'll do booty camps. I have one going on right now, and that's fun, you know, to get ready for the summer. But really, it's the one-on-one. Yeah, it's just really great because, you know, I feel you. I was there, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, gosh, just want to get in shape for ourselves, right? And then how it just totally changed my life. I used to be really quiet and introverted. It really just changed my life. I don't know. It's just so weird as we grow. And I love being in the 50s. It's just really fantastic. I think it's just a great, great time.
Oh, it's exciting. And it's so hopeful. I love it so much. So Barb, tell us how our audience can connect with you. What are the best ways that they can, follow along with a program or learn from you?
Yeah. So two ways. Number one is Instagram. If you're on Instagram. So it's barb.hawken, H-A-W-K-E-N. And also my website, barbhawkenwellness.com. Same with Facebook. It's the same, Barb Hawken Wellness. But those are really the two, the main. I'm on Instagram all the time, right? Every day. And so that's really where most of my clan is. They're in there. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Well, we'll absolutely put your contact information into the show notes. So girls, you can go in and find her there and connect with her. Her Instagram is very inspiring, like I was saying. So go follow along because I love that she's out there. She's teaching us. She's showing us. She's walking the walk and she's giving us hope that as we go into these different phases of our life, we can not only just feel like we're not having all of the terrible symptoms that come along with this phase, but we can also feel so sexy, so, you know, like thriving, and it's going to be the best part of our life, the second half. That's what I'm planning for. So anyways, well, thank you so much, Barb. I appreciate you being a guest on today's episode. And thank you to all of you that tune in every single week. We love our community here and love our audience and love hearing from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. What has been your experience? What have you been feeling as you've been entering into these different phases of life? What's worked for you? What hasn't seemed like it's worked for you? I love to keep the conversation going. And if you want to do that, you can go onto our community page. If you go to our website, www.mixhers.com, and go to the community link, that's where we have these discussions. We can ask the questions, we can share our thoughts and all of that. And so, all right, we will be back again for another episode next week, next Tuesday. That's when we drop every new episode. Until then, I hope you have a very happy and healthy week. Bye.